You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
This episode of the Matt Attack Predictions Podcast is dedicated to the people who lost their lives in the tragic events on September 11th, 2001. My thoughts and prayers go to everyone associated with those terrible events 18 years ago, the effects of which are still being felt. There will now be a 10 bell salute to every single person who has lost their life as a result of that terrible atrocity. Thank you. Okay guys, it's time for a Matt Attack Clash of the Champions prediction show. Conrad Newton is back with me for his semi-regular appearance. Welcome back, Conrad. Looking to get another one under your belt, no doubt.
Thank you for having
me back, Matt. I can't get rid of you sometimes, mate. It's always good to have a fellow Brit on board. Especially thing is we are joined for this month's episode by two Matt Attackers who have yet to play this year. First one is Ryan from A Blade Job, back for his yearly one appearance. Welcome back, Ryan.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here. I know we said we were going to do this again at the beginning of the year, and I just don't think we did.
Yeah, we unfortunately, things happened. I got super busy having 27 podcasts, and you got drunk, so that's always a good sign.
I haven't been drunk in over a year, my friend. Stoned, maybe, but not drunk.
Fair enough. And of course, talking about being stoned, that's probably a bad way to segue into someone making their debut on the Matt Attack. JCB, according to my notes here, the Smark from the Band from Ringside podcast. Now,
I'll help you out, Matt. I'm very stoned. I will accept that. That's just the way of my life. I believe we're trying to go with the Smart of the Covenant champion from Band from Ringside.
Fair enough, sir.
I'll make an Indiana Jones reference at any time.
You got that.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's funny because it's more of actually a biblical reference, but I care more about Indiana Jones than the Bible.
As you should. Anyway, so JCB is representing the Band from Ringside podcast on this one. So we have a fatal four-way this month. So that's always going to be a good thing. So if we are all set to go, we'll get cracking with what I presume will be the pre-show match for Clash of Champions, which will probably be the Cruiserweight title triple threat match between Drew Gulak, Humberto Carrillo, and Lince Dorado. Conrad, let's start with you, mate. Who you got?
I'm going to go with my the same prediction as I had for SummerSlam. I'm going to go for Drew Gulak again. I'm going to be honest here and admit that I don't watch 205 that often. It's just like sort of lost in the shuffle. As much as I advocate for it to sort of stay on air, I don't watch it as often as I should. But I'm going to go for Drew Gulak here. From what I've seen of Carrillo on NXT, he's been a strong standout. Obviously, Lince, along with Gulak, has been one of the 205 originals. But he's sort of been, I'd say, mellowed out a little bit over the last, this year especially, obviously being part of the Lucha House Party, which has been more of a joke than anything. I'd say Gulak is, say, the only strong name that 205 have at the minute that's like a credible champion. He's waited so long. He's paid he's paid all of his dues on 205. I think he deserves a title reign. I can see him dropping it at the Rumble or possibly WrestleMania. But yeah, I'm going to go for a Drew Gulak retention here.
Okay, cool beans. Nice one, Conrad. Okay, Ryan, we're going to cross across to you now, mate. What you got first?
So, I'm actually going with Lince Dorado. Now, the reason behind that is I actually think Drew Gulak is a strong favorite to win this. However, with a lot of the rumors about Triple H wanting to expand NXT into a Mexican brand as well, I think that 205 dissolving into NXT, having a luchador champion opens that door a little bit more for them from a branding standpoint. And I know it's something that he's talked about a couple of times of wanting NXT Japan and NXT Mexico to also be brands. So I think that Lince could be the moment where they put it on Lince to see how he does as the face of the cruiserweight division. Because if there is an NXT Mexico, it's obviously going to be a luchador heavy promotion. But Drew Gulak does make a lot of sense as well, just because having a big name like Drew Gulak coming into NXT as your cruiserweight champion, that's huge for the promotion. But I'm still sticking with Lince. I think this is his time to shine. As Conrad was saying, he's kind of been relegated to a comedy act lately. The guy impressed during the Cruiserweight Classic, and I think that's one of the reasons he's still here. So I'm going with Lince Dorado.
Okay, very nicely done, sir. Okay, JCB, your first answer ever on the Mat Attack. Make it a good one.
I'll do my best. I'm going to piggyback on both statements and then make my prediction. The Lince Dorado portion of it, I think they're trying to kind of go with giving them some sort of push because all of their contracts are coming up. So this might be a last ditch effort attempt to try to keep them all on board, Lince Dorado being the first of the bunch. On the flip side of it, when you have NXT coming to the USA Network for national TV audience, you want a name that people would kind of recognize. Drew Gulak is that name that people would kind of recognize. So all that being said, I like the Lince Dorado pick, but for the official pick, I'm going to take Drew Gulak to retain.
Okay, it's not a bad pick.
Can I actually just say one thing? Now, sure. Drew Gulak is one of those indie darlings. You know, mm-hmm. He was a guy who came off the independent circuit on fire from his time in Evolve, his time wrestling, because he's a New Yorker, I believe. So I actually see his brother, Rory, a lot of the times up here in New England. He wrestles for Beyond, and Drew also wrestled for Beyond. And I think that NXT has always been that promotion for the indie fans. And I think having an independent focused program on USA is one of their big points. And that's kind of one of the reasons they're doing it. Just my two cents.
Fair enough. I've gone against the grain on all of you here, and I've gone with Humberto Carrillo because I think this guy...
Who? I'm sorry. I gotta flip over to Skype so I can see Matt's face right now. Oh, yeah, that's a face only a mother could love.
And bearing in mind, Ryan, she listens to this podcast, so watch your language.
I'm going to make you work, but I'm saving it for later.
Q, Nishan. Q. Right, okay. Reason why I'm going for Humberto Carrillo is because I think this guy has more than paid his dues already on the independent circuit and also in 205 Live. I think this guy is phenomenal. I think he will cut it on the main roster eventually, obviously. But I just think that he needs to be he should be rewarded for all the hard work he's done. That's nothing to take away from Drew Gulak and Lince Dorado. This is a dream match to watch. But because I've got something on this, I actually have to pick a horse on this one. But I could have gone for any of them, but I went with Humberto Carrillo. So that's my pick on that one. Right, onto the main roster we go. We'll have SmackDown Tag Team titles first. New Day defending against Revival. Ryan, since you were talking last, you crack it off.
Oh, see, I wasn't ready for that one. Okay, well, New Day is arguably the most decorated tag team in WWE at the moment. Especially, obviously, with their connections with Kofi, who's, you know, our reigning, defending, undisputed WWE champion. I'm actually going with the Revival. And I know that it's been said a million times, but WWE is going to want to keep them happy because there are fake offers flying around for them to go to the competitors. And I think the Revival, as much as many people will disagree with me, I don't think they've been poorly booked in WWE. They've been a heel tag team. The heel tag team has to lose more than they win. You know, you got to keep the kids happy, and the kids like New Day, and New Day sells a lot of merchandise. But I think with the changing landscape of professional wrestling as it is right now, I do think that we're going to see the belts end up on the Revival.
Okay, that's a fairly good answer. JCB, you're up next, buddy.
That's a huge Revival, Mark. I would love to see that happen. I just don't have faith in the booking process when it comes to Revival. I'm one of those guys that do think that the Revival has been poorly booked, kind of heated up as of 2019, but leading up to this, I think we can all kind of name a segment or two where they've been basically made fun of, embarrassed, whatever word you want to use in the sentence. That being said, I'm going to stick to the script. I like the New Day here. I see no reason to take the titles off of them at this point. Once again, leading into SmackDown going on Fox in October, even if Kofi isn't champion, you're going to have New Day represented in some form or fashion. So I think this is the safer pick. I'll take the New Day to retain.
Fair enough. Conrad, who have you gone for, mate?
I've gone for the Revival here, simply because obviously they're alliance with Orton, and I feel like they're going to extend this program a little bit longer, just until SmackDown starts on Fox. I did originally have New Day to win, but obviously I was reminded earlier on Twitter that NWA have TV starting again soon. And I feel that there is the whole market of the lapsed fan from the 80s who, or like the glory days of the NWA with, like, there's just good wrestling and there's nothing flashy about it. And to me, that's what the Revival symbolise. I feel they're a throwback team to the days where tag team wrestling was taken seriously, and it was a strong division. There was nothing overly flippy about it. Obviously, completely different to tag teams like Usos, and obviously the stellar opposite of New Day. I feel like they've got, like, a legitimate sports feel to them. So I'm going to say that they're going to be good for, obviously, Fox being a predominantly sports channel. I feel like they'd be a good move, and they'd give Orton a little bit of leverage heading into what would assumably be another month or two of this title feud with Kofi. So I'm going to go with the Revival here.
Okay, Revival here. I've gone for Revival too, mainly because New Day are over with or without the titles. And they don't really need them, whereas the Revival, I think, do. Anyone who's ever heard me on Good Cop, Bad Cop knows I cannot stand the Revival. I don't know what it is about them, I just have a real problem with them as a concept. I don't know, they're just boring. I just don't find them good on the microphone compared to some of the other people that we have. But I do like them more now they've aligned themselves with Orton. But they are just basically Legacy Mark II. That being said, I see Orton interfering this match to cost New Day the titles. So Revival for me to pick up the tag team championships here. Okay, so let's get some singles title. Let's get a one-on-one match going here, shall we? JCB, you're up first for the IC title match. Shinsuke Nakamura defending against The Miz.
Man, look, I should feel so sorry for The Miz. I really thought that this would be the year that he and Daniel Bryan would have their feud. He would get a title, at least a title reign of some sort, even if it was like for a small month. And now he went to Raw and everything has just gone south. I like the Shinsuke Sami Zayn pairing just because I think a lot of people don't like Shinsuke because he can't talk, so you have Sami talking for him. You just got this pair together. I don't see a reason why we need to break it up right away. Miz can get his 10th title reign at whatever point this is going to be, so he can be arguably the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time at a later point. If you're going to, Nakamura needs some sort of love at some point. I mean, he's been basically devalued pretty much from the start. So I'm going to take Nakamura to retain.
Okay, so you're going for Shinsuke Nakamura to retain. Okay. Conrad, you're next.
I've gone for Nakamura to retain. I feel that I did originally have Miz because I was reading a lot of rumors saying that they wanted WWE wanted to erase Chris Jericho from the history books, obviously being top champion of arguably their biggest competition in the domestic, well, the United States wrestling scene. But yeah, I'm going to Nakamura. He's only just held, he only won the IC title like a few months ago. Miz has already held the IC title that many times already, but I feel like if given the opportunity, Nakamura can do with the WWE IC title what he did with the IWGP IC title, where he can have a good match and elevate his opponent. Obviously, since Miz has been damaged so much since WrestleMania, obviously coming off loss to Shane, and he lost to Shane again and again and again and again, and it's sort of like taken away his credibility. He's lost on TV for a few months, and now suddenly he's come back on SmackDown as a face, which I don't like at all, and we're suddenly expected to buy him as an IC title challenger just because he's held it before. I also feel like this put over the Nakamura Zayn alliance, and I feel like they could be building to something further down the line where we have a Zayn Nakamura rematch when SmackDown heads to Fox for the IC title, and then maybe Sami gets a big one. Well, he finally wins the title. But yeah, I'm going to go with Nakamura here just because I feel beating someone like Miz will add some credibility to his title reign. Obviously, hasn't had a huge bunch of good challenges yet. We all thought Ali was going to have it, but obviously Miz is a good pick for it. So I reckon Nakamura is going to retain it here just for quite a while.
Okay, well, that's a very good and a bit nice, there, Conrad. Ryan.
Nakamura, and you know why.
Is it because you hate them, Miz?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it. It's just, it's not even a pick. It's just the fact that I refuse to pick the Miz for anything. So by default, it has to be Nakamura just because I don't care. I don't care about the Miz. I don't understand. Okay. I've never understood the Miz. All right. I'm fine.
For the benefit of the Matt Attack Army out there, who are not aware, anyone who doesn't know why Ryan despises The Miz so much, go listen to The Blade Job episode 1 through 82, and you'll be out, and you'll figure out why. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's 100% accurate. I've been actually thinking about, I remember at some point years and years ago, there was a Miz sucks shirt. Someone wore like something, The Miz is awful, or it was something like that when they were feuding with The Miz, and I've been thinking about going on eBay and trying to find one just so I can wear it every day.
Excellent, excellent. Well, if you can't find one, you can always speak to someone who knows how to get a shirt printed. Conrad, do you know anyone by any chance, mate?
Yeah, my aunt does shirt printing, and I also help at times. I'm basically like a minimum paid slave, so.
So yeah, if you have any shirt printed, Ryan, make your own one up. Send it to a Conrad. You probably thought you went out.
What is it, £48 to have it shipped to the US?
Less than that, mate. Less than that.
I tried to send a shirt to someone, and it was like, I think it was Mags, and it was like $26 American dollars to send it, and I was like, nah, sorry, dude.
I'm not quite sure on that one. Getting back to topic, Nakamura for me as well, because it makes sense with Shinsuke and Sami now being a team together again. I did notice on the commentary the other day, they actually mentioned that, as Conrad pointed out, with Miz having all of those title reigns, they actually mentioned he had the most title reigns in history. I'm like, no, Jericho does. I'm not going to mention Jericho, obviously, for obvious reasons, but, you know, so it wouldn't shock me if it wanted Miz to break the record, but there's another time and a place for it, as you said, so Shinsuke for me as well. Right, okay, we're going to switch to the Raw Women's Championship. Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. Conrad, you're up first, buddy.
Oh, well, frankly, I've had enough of Becky. Pretty much from the start, I've had enough of Becky. She's literally all character driven. She is not a good wrestler in any sense of the word. I think more because she was trained by Balor, they sort of feel like she could be a good wrestler. Sasha needs the win more because obviously she took a hiatus. And as much as I don't like Sasha either, I think that Sasha needs it because it will solidify her heel turn. It will make everything leading up to this match mean something. I was going to go with Becky because obviously the game's coming out in a few weeks' time. And obviously marketing purposes sort of dictate that she should be champion heading into the release. But I think that Sasha needs the win more and it'll just make her the top heel because she's essentially beaten Vince's golden girl of the women's division right now. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Sasha for the win.
Sasha Banks for you. Okay. Okie dokie. That mimics Ryan. I think that's right. Yeah, Ryan, you're up next.
This one's tough for me because generally, I like both women. I really do. I have no issues with them. Sasha will always have a special place in my heart because she's a local girl for me. She got her start up here in Massachusetts, and I've actually seen her wrestle many, many times as Mercedes KV before she signed. Becky, I've always been a fan of just because I like the Spitfire attitude. I'm a sucker for a redhead. I'm going with Becky just because, as Conrad said, with 2K20 coming out, I think that with her on the cover, they're going to want the belt on her at the time of the game's release. So I'm going with Becky.
Becky Lynch retained for you. Okay, so that leaves JCB.
I'm torn here too. I like both Becky and Sasha a lot. Sasha, I still see, when I close my eyes, I still see her and Bayley in the 30-man Iron Man match. I thought Becky is character-driven, but a lot of wrestlers are character-driven in WWE. It's more about, you know, how fans react to you, what you say versus what you do in the ring. So I can't necessarily knock her for that. She's just a part of the product itself. That said, to me, this is a coin flip. I've been debating it all day long, but I'm going to stick with my guns, and I try not to flip-flop in situations like this. My gut says that Sasha Banks needs this win. She should get this win. Her coming back and losing a title match right away just would seem like deflating for any momentum that she had leading up to this match. Becky can get it back at a later point. I think it's really Sasha's time to go ahead and at least reward her for coming back. Let her retain then after her winning for that fact as well. I think that's another thing to consider, but another story for another time. First things first, give me Sasha Banks to win.
Absolutely. Okay. I'll give you Sasha Banks to win that one, no problem. Because I'm going with Sasha Banks to win as well, because for all the reasons that everyone has given, it is a difficult one to call, because it makes sense from a PR point of view to have Becky going into the video game. And let's face it, it's all about her being the man, at the only woman who's there, obviously, at the party. But it makes more sense for Sasha to go over, just come back, obviously, and it makes sense. So, I'm going with Sasha Banks. Right. Let's stick with some women here. Let's go to something which is maybe a bit more cut and dry here. Ryan, you're up first for the women's tag title match between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and... what do they call themselves? Fire and Desire? Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
This one is extremely hard for me because...
Really?
Yeah, no, honestly, it really is. And this isn't a euphemism. I love Sonya and Mandy. I really do. I think that they have been criminally underused. Sonya Deville is the only quote unquote MMA chick on the roster that I feel is not overly playing up that she's the MMA chick. You know, like, she utilizes her skill set in the ring, but she's not like, look at me, I'm a fighter. Like, that's not her bit. Her bit is, she is a fighter, but she's not a professional. You know, it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss is, I love Alexa Bliss, and I know she gets a lot of flack because she wasn't a wrestler. She came in, she was trained by WWE. She took to the business like, you know, a fish to water. She understands it. And for people who say, oh, well, she was a fitness model, so was Trish Stratus. My and she's a Hall of Famer. You know, and I love Nikki Cross. This one's really hard for me because it's personal appreciation of all four of these women, but at the same time, at the end of the day, Bliss is their girl, and I think that means that Bliss and Nikki will retain leading up to the inevitable heel turn of one of them on the other.
Okay, so Bliss and Cross for you. Okay, JCB.
I can't say this is just difficult to me. I'll just speak on Fire and Desire for 30 seconds. I don't get it. I get Mandy Rose because of the physical. I get that. Sonya Deville, I just don't see enough from her for me to say that she's going to be the next coming of anything. Right now, she plays a very good sidekick. I need to see something from her to say, to show me that there's something else. As it stands right now, she's a sidekick. That leads me to believe that, like it's already been said before, Alexa is part of that favorite group that they have. Outside the Four Horsewomen, if Ronda Rousey comes back, she would be a part of that group, and then you would have Alexa Bliss. At some point, she has to turn on Nikki. That would be the heel turn, in my opinion. So all that being said, I'm going to take the chance to retain.
Okay, that's fair enough on that one. Mr. Newton.
Hello.
You're up.
Okay, so I'm going to go for Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross to retain because they have somehow, well, it's not really a question as to why, but they have managed to do more with those tag titles in the space of about a month than the Iconics did in four, which is quite sad to look back on, but hey ho. But I reckon that Mandy Rose is going to take the pin because when they were, I'm pretty sure, in the Fatal 4-Way for the women's tag titles where Bliss and Cross won them, I'm pretty sure Mandy took the pin. I reckon that it's going to lead to them consistently challenging for the tag titles. Mandy keeps taking the pin. It's going to be like similar to Team Hell No, but sort of not at the same time. It's going to be like, obviously, like two best friends, but then like they completely split. Obviously, if they present Mandy as the weak link, then she's the lovable underdog who, obviously, like the typical heterosexual male audience will be obviously like drawn to as an underdog babyface. And you have Sonya, who has the MMA fighter background. Obviously, I'd like to see her go back to how she was in NXT, where she was brutal and she's using more submissions than anything. I feel so bad that she's been demoted to being Mandy's sidekick. And I just feel like if they keep going with this, with the narrative of Mandy losing, and then Sonya can just mess her up, then you have a dominant heel in Sonya, lovable underdog babyface in Mandy, and then you keep the titles on Bliss and Cross, who seemingly know how to do more with the belts in, as I say, a month than what the Iconics did in four.
Yeah, it's a clean sweep for Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss because I don't think that they know what to do with quote unquote Fire and Desire, and they're just throwing him into this match basically. But the problem is, is that with three now three women's championships, and with this wild card rule, you can face anyone on any point for a title now. So it makes the whole brand thing pointless in the first place. With all that around, you're always going to have eight women contesting for title matches when it comes to pay-per-views. And unfortunately, it does say something when two of the hardest workers, which are Asuka and help me out here, Kairi Sane, don't even get a look in on a pay-per-view for the match for the titles, and you get Sonya Deville, who is so underlooked, but it also gets one who is so overrated, in my opinion. That's Mandy Rose getting a title shot. I have no time for Mandy Rose at all. I don't like her character. I don't like her. I think she's stiff as hell in the ring. I don't like her. You guys can fight me on that one, by all means. But any comeback on that one, or not?
No, I'm not going to argue. I mean, Mandy Rose is competent enough in the ring for me, but at the end of the day, she's eye candy. She's there because she's got assets that Vince enjoys in his female superstars. And right. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's the fact of the matter. And I think that she is better than people give her credit for, but I don't think she's, as Corey Graves would put it, God's gift to God's greatest gift. You know, it is what it is. And I agree, Kairi and Asuka deserve that spot a little bit more because they're both extremely talented, but I hate to say it, they're not white, and that's not what Vince always looks for. Vince is very set in his ways, and it's not right. It's not, I don't agree with it, but that's unfortunately the way he books. And, you know, I don't want to get into a philosophical discussion or a racial discussion, but that's just the way Vince McMahon is.
No, we'll get into that. We'll get into that another time for certain. This isn't the time or the place for it, unfortunately. Right, move on to the only non-title match on this show, which flies in the face of Clash of Champions in the first place. The no DQ match between Roman Reigns and Eric Rowan. They've given his first name back all of a sudden. Bizarre. JCB, lead us off.
The one storyline that I could care less about the show, and then now to add on to it, you're going to make it a no DQ match. I see people are jumping on the Eric Rowan bandwagon, and I get it. You know, it's the rub that, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes on, the rub that Roman Reigns gives to people, but it's a temporary rub. We heard this with Drew McIntyre. Now, Drew McIntyre hasn't been the same since. Buddy Murphy's been now MIA for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now here comes Eric Rowan. Same thing. We're just feeding him to Roman Reigns until we figure out what Roman Reigns ultimately is going to do when he gets the championship back, because that ultimately, for me, is the end game. I get it. You know, Eric Rowan is a fresh face. It's something that I clamor for a lot because I want to see new people get their chance. But this is just a setup for him to fail. I just hope he goes out, has a decent match, doesn't mess up too terribly bad, if at all. Eat the pin quickly so we can all move on. Give me Roman Reigns.
So you're going with Roman Reigns. Fair enough. Conrad, buddy, what are you going for?
I'm going to go for Roman because it's Roman, and as we mentioned with Becky, marketing reasons dictate that Roman's going to win because he needs the momentum heading into the game release. Also, on a side note, how dare they leave Daniel Bryan off the second pay-per-view in a row? One of the best wrestlers of our generation, and there's no convincing me otherwise, and is somehow left out of a story. We could have had Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan, but no, we're getting Roman Reigns, who has as much. See, I felt like when he came back from leukemia, he lost so much momentum and I feel like they focused more on him coming back from cancer than him as a wrestler, because I was starting to get behind him as a wrestler when he won the Universal title and he was defending it all the time. But yeah, he's just lost so much momentum. He's sort of been lost in this storyline. Doesn't help that Vince McMahon has been allegedly tearing up the scripts and rewriting the show before, like about an hour or two before it's supposed to air. I think that's just confused story even more. It's hurt Roman, it's hurt Rowan, it's hurt Brian. I hope that we get a decent payoff from this. It's going to be a feel-good babyface moment. It's going to be Roman winning, obviously, and then back down the card, you go Rowan.
Okay, fair enough, Conrad. Ryan.
So, this is another one that I just feel weird about, because I know that the cut and dry decision would be Roman, just because of everything that everyone has said on this lovely panel of people. But there's something that always bothered me about the Wyatt family. And I mean members of the Wyatt family that weren't named Bray. So you had Luke Harper, you had Eric Rowan, you had Braun Strowman. And Eric Rowan, I felt, out of all of them, was always, no pun intended, the black sheep. You know, he was always just the one who was there. I was really a big fan of the Bludgeon Brothers. As much as it was kind of a stupid name and kind of a goofy gimmick, I really liked them, especially when they kicked the ever-living crap out of the New Day. I just thought it built them as these monster heels. Now, obviously, like I said, everyone has kind of said these things already. Marketing for Roman coming back, what, just utilizing him in some way until they can put a belt around him again. Sorry, Vince, I didn't mean to say belt. Don't fire me. But it's Rowan's the one who needs the win in this situation, because Roman will not be elevated by beating Eric Rowan, but Eric Rowan will be elevated by beating Roman Reigns. I'm going to say Eric Rowan just because it's what I want in my heart of hearts, because currently for big men, like top name big men in the company, there's Roman Reigns and there's Brock Lesnar, who will inevitably be back, I'm sure, in time for the Rumble. We don't have many big men. Braun Strowman is kind of in this weird situation right now. So it's kind of like, yeah, he's a big man, but I don't really understand what's going on with him, as per usual. So I'm saying, please, 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 Eric Rowan, to make him the monster that he can be. Plus, he wears dope Amon Amarth t-shirts to the ring now, and that's awesome.
Fair enough. I've gone for Eric Rowan too. Because in my head, and this is my headcanon here, and I'm aware of how crazy that can be sometimes. As Conrad pointed out, Daniel Bryan's not on the show. But I do see him getting involved in this match and probably costing the match for Roman. And Rowan will win the match, but I'll get pushed aside again as the feud between Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns kicks off, which is where it should always have been in the first place. Eric Rowan to win unfairly, but win. Right. Okay. SmackDown Women's Title. Bayley versus Charlotte Flair. Conrad, I'd like to go first, please.
Okay, this is as much as I hate to say it. Charlotte wins, lol. It's always the case. There's been reports here, there, and everywhere for God knows how long that they want her to break Flair's record, well, her dad's record, 16 world titles. So they're just going to, I reckon they're going to hot potato the belt. As much as I hate it, it's going to devalue Bayley's heel turn. It's just going to get rid of, it's going to take all of the steam that Bayley's got heading into it, obviously turning on Becky in that tag team match. I feel that Bayley needs the win, but I don't feel like she's necessarily going to get the win, because it's Charlotte we're talking about here, and Charlotte, as we've seen, very rarely loses women's title matches. Like, we sort of got what we wanted for a bit when she wasn't in the women's title picture. But obviously, she got put over by Trish at SummerSlam, and I feel like this is the only logical next step. You She's sort of been positioned as the face of the women's division, or star 1A of the women's division, maybe behind Becky this year. So I feel like she's been put over by a legend like Trish, and now I feel like the only logical next step is for her to beat Bayley, as much as it pains me to say it. So yeah, Charlotte's going to win.
Okay, fair enough. Ryan, Bayley or Charlotte Flair?
So, first and foremost, who cares? Because this match is irrelevant to everything. And it just shows once again. So, obviously, this is Clash of Champions. And I get that. But this pay-per-view alone shows how hurtful having too many titles for the company is to your roster. Bayley has been nothing but pointless for so long. And I like Bayley. I really do. You know, I know it's tired and tripe at this point to say, but look at her matches in NXT against Sasha. Look at her matches when she first got to the main roster. Like, she is good. She gets it. She understands it. Charlotte, we get it. You're Ric Flair with boobs. Nobody cares anymore. Both of these women are just irrelevant to me at this point. I am saying Bayley retains via disqualification. That's it. Charlotte's gonna go, I'm upset again, and she's gonna freak out, and the ref's gonna call for a DQ, and that's it. Bayley retains via who cares.
Okay, this week's Matt Attack is brought to you by Ryan from My Blade Job. Okay, JCB, you're
I'm in a ranting mood.
You are in a ranting mood, definitely. JCB, take it away before he carries on.
No, I was gonna say I love a good rant. Trust me, I do it all the time on mine. First and foremost, I care because it's one of the two matches that I actually am invested in. Kofi and Randy being the other. I'm torn. I like Charlotte. I'm a Charlotte Bard. I love Bayley. I think Bayley just doesn't get enough credit because they booked her wrong coming out of NXT, and then it's kind of been a downward spiral since. She needs this win. I will go with Ryan on this, and I agree with the finish. That way it protects Charlotte moving forward. So that way she has still a claim to the title. You can do it at Hell in a Cell for a rematch. Bayley keeps the title. So that way she retains. She doesn't necessarily pin Charlotte. She just kind of solidifies her heel turn via disqualification, whether it's chair shot or, you know, ref bump, whatever, Sasha comes down, whatever the case may be. End of the day, Bayley retains. However it comes out, I like Ryan's idea about disqualification, though.
Excellent. I, too, have got Bayley to retain the championship, but I've got her to beat Charlotte here because, end of the day, Charlotte is, as everyone quotes, the queen anyway. One-dimensional character, yeah, but she is... Is she a heel or is she a face now?
That's kind of the reason why I don't care, because there was no true heel turn or face turn for Charlotte. She's just kind of... She's not an anti-hero, she's not a hero, she's not a villain, she's Charlotte Flair. Her character is Charlotte Flair, and I'm just kind of over it.
There are some people that say that Bayley hasn't made a quote-unquote true heel turn, that she's kind of reacted to what's happened to her and around her. I disagree. I think a chair shot on the defenseless Becky Lynch is pretty much a heel turn enough for me. Others disagree. So, I mean, if you go with that logic that Bayley hasn't made a true heel turn, you got two women that are tweeners. I don't think that Charlotte is a tweener myself personally. I look at it as a heel. I think at any given point she'll stab anybody in the back to get the next title reign. To me,
the problem with Bayley is, how do we take you seriously as a heel when you come out to that entrance?
You don't.
Okay, and I said that the other day. You have to change your music. The music is still associated with the Hugger Bales. When you make a heel turn, everything has to change.
Agreed.
Comrade the fan of music, what music would you recommend? Some metal or some Slipknot or what?
I'd say Slipknot's a bit too fast paced, but I'd probably go like down. See, I want to say like metalcore, like that sort of road. It's like it's slightly slower, but it's screamy as well. But yeah, I'm gonna say like we need something slower than the upbeat, happy, songy Bailey inflatable balloon tube men. I'd really like to just like see her come out with like a chair or something and just try and beat the life out of the tube men as she makes her entrance. And then
I want to see that definitely. I want to see that. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, it makes for some good viewing. Like it upset like a bunch of little girls as well. Like when I showed my little sister who loves Bailey, I showed her Bailey's heel turn, and she literally broke down in tears. And she's like 8 years old, and she's that invested in wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have found the biggest heel on the Matt Attack this month. That would be Conrad Newton for dashing his little sister's dreams. You are brilliant, Conrad. I love you. Right, yeah, for the record, Bailey to win for me. Right, okay, time's getting on. We need to keep cracking through these. Right, US title match. AJ Styles versus Cedric Alexander. And Ryan, you are first.
Cedric. Now, I think it's really cut and dry. AJ is a guy who is reaching that point of his career where he's still going to have title runs. He's still going to have main event spots. But he's starting to put over younger talent. And you've kind of seen it, you know, with his brief feud with Ricochet, where he was only winning because Gallows and Anderson were there. When it was one-on-one, for the most part, Ricochet was going over. And I think that AJ is aware of that, and I think WWE is aware of that, where he is there, the belt is on him right now to pass it on to someone who hasn't had that run yet. And I think that guy is Cedric Alexander. Once again, another guy who highly impressed during the Cruiserweight Classic, a guy who highly impressed in 205 Live, and a guy that if you want a new face for the United States Championship, this is the guy right now. And I think Cedric is on fire when it comes to getting over, when it comes to his in-ring talent. I'm going with Cedric Alexander every day.
Okay, Cedric Alexander for the boy from Boston. Okay,
JC. Nowhere near Boston, but close.
You're nearer Boston than I am. Right, JCB, you next.
Please don't say Boston in my presence. I'll say that's a touchy subject in the gateway to the West.
If it helps, I don't give a crap about baseball, and I don't give a crap about football, so.
Ryan, you give a crap about the two things I give a crap about the most.
Well, here's the thing. I'll say it. The Red Sox, the Patriots. Tom Brady sucks.
God, I love you already.
Right. JCB, JCB, your answer, please, before Ryan gets cut off for insulting the Red Sox.
I'm going to take AJ here. I agree with everything that Ryan said. Cedric would make a great mid-card champion. I think the biggest problem is that fans would reject him. He's a part of this indie clip. And I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love the Young Bucks, but you get where I'm going with it. The Young Bucks, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet, guys that primarily depend on their athleticism. The old guard of WWE doesn't like that. Hell, they don't really like AJ Styles for that matter, but I think they were more accepting of AJ versus Cedric Alexander, who is basically just coming. If you don't watch 205 Live, you probably didn't watch the Cruiserweight Classic. Cedric Alexander is just coming out of the blue for as far as you're concerned. I just, once again, leading into bigger and better things, I got the sneaking suspicion AJ's going to keep the title. Seamus deserves it, though. Like I said, he would be great. He just needs to work on his promos. That's the biggest thing, because it's WWE. You got to be able to talk. And right now, that's a lot of guys' biggest problem in WWE, is that they just can't talk. They can do it in the ring, but once they get on the mic, they kind of struggle. Ricochet is a great example of that. AJ can do it a little better than they can. I'm not saying that Cedric won't win it at a later point, but right now, I'm fan of them.
Fair enough. Before Conrad goes, Ryan, stop tweeting whilst on the show.
I can make no promises. I absolutely can make no promises.
I wouldn't mind you calling me out at certain points. Right, Conrad, you're up, bud.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Cedric, because it is a, as I see it from my little world of booking standpoint, it is a win-win situation. You have, obviously, your young up-and-comer in Cedric, who is a workhorse, and he has the best-looking finisher on the main roster at the minute. And we saw, if you watch the YouTube video where AJ's at the stunner, you know he can sell the life out of that lumbar check. You'd put over that finisher strong. But more so, AJ needs to lose that US title, because he needs to move back up. I feel he's above. He's got to that point where he's above the US title. Raw has a lack of main event talent at the minute. Obviously, you've got McIntyre, who lost all of his credibility losing to Roman on multiple occasions. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but same with Joe. Corbin is not likable at the minute. Well, he's starting to like come around to me a little bit, because he did really well in King of the Rings. Ricochet is not there yet. If you have AJ as a heel who is with the club, then you have the perfect ball for babyface Rollins, or you can have you could have AJ, or you could have the club interfere in AJ's matches if he was to say you'd give a huge feather in the cap of the club if they were to beat the Fiend, if say Bray was to win the title at Hell in a Cell. But Raw needs the main event talent. AJ carries that aura around him that makes him a main eventer. He put over Cedric, obviously give Cedric the huge win. Cedric can make the US title mean something again. He can make it similar to how the IC title was in 2016. But Cedric needs the win here. AJ would accomplish nothing, but Cedric would accomplish everything. So I'm going to go with Cedric here to win.
Fair enough. I've also got a Cedric Alexander to win the title, because he's just got, as you guys have all said, both of them have got a great match on the card with this one. The Lombard check's a great finish as well. He sold it really well at AJ. But it's also AJ's last year of his contract, I believe. And I believe he's retiring at the end of it. Have I heard that right?
I actually have no idea. I try to stay away from whose contract is up when, and I just kind of ignore it, because as soon as someone's contract is close to being up, especially now, it's just, OMG, they're going to AEW confirmed. And it's like, all right, just chill.
Yeah, that does annoy me. Yeah. But any news to that one, Conrad? Have you heard that one? Or JCB?
I read that it was 3 years, and he said it. When he tweeted, he said he signed a multi-year contract, and he's definitely said that this contract is the last one that he's signing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully all the news reports should have, oh my god, he's going to go join AEW because his Bullet Club friends are there. But yeah, he said he wants to finish his career in WWE. I think he's got 3 years left in his current contract, so we'll see him around. I reckon he'll get a few more title runs in, but yeah, 3 years left.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, cool. Okay, right. Before we go to the last three matches, a match has been cancelled from this and moved to Monday Night Raw for reasons that absolutely baffle me, is the King of the Ring finals, which should have been Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable, but it's been moved to the Raw after this. I'm going to go for you all quickly, just your thoughts on who's going to win that match. Ryan?
I'm sorry, for the King of the Ring finals?
Yeah, because it's been moved from Clash of Champions to Monday Night Raw. For reasons that utterly baffle me.
Corbin, just because Corbin is the new shiny toy, just like Drew McIntyre was the new shiny toy for Vince back in the day. And Vince is so all about Corbin that I think that we're going to have an Applebee's King of the Ring.
Oh, God, I hope not. JCB, who would you pick? Would you go for Chad Gable or Baron Corbin?
Oh, okay. I called Baron Corbin before the King of the Ring even started, just looking at the tournament bracket. He had disappeared for a while after the tag team match with him and Lacey Evans versus Seth and Becky. And then now he kind of just conveniently reappears. The King of the Ring is usually a heel. Baron Corbin, whether you like him or not, he invokes reaction. I'd love to see Chad Gable do it. I think Chad Gable is on my all underrated team. But I can't see them going away from Baron Corbin at this point, especially him winning a triple threat match to get to this point.
Okay. Conrad, who would you have picked?
Well, Corbin seems to be the obvious pick, because obviously Gable was, like, obviously he's the underdog throughout the whole thing, because a lot of people thought the whole tournament was designed to get McIntyre over again, or Murphy, or maybe Andrade. But no, we're getting Baron Corbin, because I've sort of played the scenario in my head. If any of you guys watch The Simpsons, you know that episode where they go skiing and Homer sees Ned in that skin tight skiing suit, and he's like stupid sexy Flanders. I think Vince is like that, but with Corbin, he's like stupid sexy Corbin. So, obviously I think we discussed this on the SummerSlam panel, Matt, that Vince sees Corbin as a sex symbol of some sort, and that's why he's getting pushed so much. So I think that'll sort of carry on, but I'm coming around to Corbin more because he actually looks like a wrestler rather than like a waiter at like a family restaurant.
As someone who works in the catering industry, let me say he looks nothing like a waiter, but I do get your point on that one. I also take offense to the fact he's a sex symbol as well, because he looks nothing like someone I'd want to date. But I agree, they're going to go with Corbin. I'd prefer Gable, but they're going to go with Corbin because we don't get what we want. Right. We'll go to the WWE title match next, which is Kofi Kingston defending at Randy Orton. JCB, hit me.
I read somewhere today that Randy Orton has won a title, at least one title, for every year he's been in the WWE. So that being said, he has not won a title this year. With Hell in the Cell ahead, this might be the time for that streak to end. But I can't do it. As much as I love Randy, hometown boy, went to my high school, I can't do it. Kofi Kingston won't retain. I wouldn't be surprised if Randy does win, just because, like I said, it would set up the Hell in the Cell. But I just think they have bigger plans for Kofi, and another one-off championship for Randy Orton doesn't necessarily do him any good. I mean, his legacy set, I don't necessarily think we need that. We need more of a building block for a Kofi Kingston legacy versus another chip on the Hall of Fame plaque of Randy Orton. So yeah, I'm going to take Kofi Kingston.
Fair enough. Conrad, you up next, mate. Kingston or Orton?
Well, I'm pretty sure I've been very vocal about how much I dislike Kofi as champion. I just don't think he's main event.
You may
caliber.
Have mentioned it once or twice, yeah.
but yeah, I feel that with the SmackDown on Fox debut imminent, I feel that many of the lapsed fans who stopped watching towards the end of the Ruthless Aggression era, or like before Kofi was suddenly... Well, when Kofi was still in the mid-card, I feel like Randy is the more recognisable name, and I feel that on SmackDown that Fox are willing to pay for Brock Lesnar, so I'm assuming we're going to get Brock Lesnar at some point, and he's just going to decimate Orton, especially with Head in a Cell coming up. I can see Revival interference after they take the New Day's titles, and then they cost Kofi. Kofi can always win it back, and then it goes to a Hell in a Cell match, and then you can have Randy, or you can have Kofi win the title back, and then you have Kofi versus Lesnar, where Lesnar will most likely win, if plans are to be believed, or reports, should I say. But yeah, I'm going to say Randy's going to win it here, but through Revival interference. Kofi's fairy tale ending. It's going to come to an end, unfortunately. As much as I hate on him, he has done a good job with what he's been given. Booking hasn't really helped. The feud from 10 years ago that some people wanted. I'm going to go with Randy just because he seems like a logical choice heading into the big TV deal in November, or late October in November time.
Fair enough. Okay, that leaves Mr. Ryan.
All right, this is another match where it just feels like we're doing it because we're doing it. I'm going with Kofi once again because they're going to want the face of WWE to be, or the face of SmackDown to be someone who is marketable. And I think Fox is going to want a babyface champion at the beginning. And I agree with Brock is probably going to show up and take that title from him because I know Fox wants him. So I'm going with Kofi to retain with the Revival still interfering. I think it'll be that storybook. He overcomes all adversity.
Fair enough. I've got Kofi to win by DQ. Because we already know the first main event for the first Fox show, which is Kofi Kingston defending the title against Randy Orton. Now, grant you, it could be Randy Orton wins the title here and Kofi wins it back on a SmackDown. But that's not the most likely scenario, in my opinion. So I have an opinion of Kofi going over here by DQ, probably when New Day interfered to stop Revival and Kofi goes too far of a chair or something. Right, okay. Now, the reason why I've left these two at last, because I think that it'll just follow straight on from the last one. It's the Raw Tag Team titles, Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman defending against the Frankenstein team of Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. Conrad, lead us off, sir.
I'm going to pick Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode with his glorious moustache. Hopefully he has brought that back. Looking like Joey Ryan's dad.
Continue, sorry.
But I reckon Ziggler, I feel like if they don't do something with him now... apparently he was operating a handshake deal with Vince. I can see Strowman turning heel as well in this match, and just absolutely annihilating Seth before their Universal Championship match. I just feel the booking makes absolutely no sense. Dolph and Roode weren't a tag team at all, and somehow beat the Viking Raiders and Heavy Machinery and multiple other teams that I can't remember because it was a pretty forgettable match and it was a few weeks ago. But yeah, I feel like Dolph and Roode need the win more. The story with Seth and Braun being the Frankenstein team, as you said, is going to play into it. I feel that we're going to see a Strowman heel turn so he can become the monster that he was in 2017 when he was destroying Roman Reigns. So, yeah, I feel like Seth's going to have some damage heading into the Universal title match, and Strowman's going to cost him and Rollins the tag titles.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, Ryan, if we can prize you off of Twitter, go, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was tweeting. What's up? I'm so unbelievably frustrated with the way that the Raw Tag Team Championships have been booked. I'm so frustrated with how Seth and Braun have been booked. I'm so frustrated with how Dolph and Roode have been booked. So, in general, this feels like we threw a bunch of stuff together just because why not? Dolph and Roode will probably take them just because it's the only thing that makes sense, because Braun turning on Seth is an identical outcome to when Seth and Dean won the Raw titles when Dean turned on Seth. And it's just, it seems like they're just copy and pasting because they figure since Dean left that they still should use this storyline in some shape or form.
Okay, fair enough. So, just for the record, you are going with Dolph and Rude, yeah?
He's here to show the world. He's here to show the world.
Come on. Which
leads... I love Dolph Ziggler, by the way.
Yeah, his comedy's not too bad either. Okay, JCB, you're up.
I agree with everything that Brian and Conrad have said to this point. The tag team division is just a joke, and it's making me look at this match like this is a joke. It's the ultimate setup for what's happening down the line. So they're basically telling you what's going to happen without telling you what's going to happen. This is going to be, I wouldn't say easy, but Rude and Ziggler should win this match to win the titles, because ultimately you can't have tag team titles going into the main event and then have these guys wrestle for the Universal title. It frustrates me because Rude and Ziggler could have been a great tag team months ago. But now all of a sudden we throw them together. They're beating established tag teams their first night. I mean, it reeks of the same old, let's put two singles guys together because we have nothing else to do. Or these two singles guys are so great, let's make them a tag team. It's the same old one WWE nonsense, which makes me not really care about this match too much. Dolphins. Robert Roode should win, and if they don't, then there's really a problem going on. But like I said, that's another story for another time.
Okay, so Dolph and Roode for you as well. I'm breaking from you guys here. I'm thinking Seth and Braun are going to retain, because you know they like to screw Bobby Roode over all the time. I like the idea of Seth celebrating with both titles before getting blindsided from behind by Braun, and then the bell ringing for the next match to start. So, I think Seth and Braun will win here, but I do take all the points you guys have made. They should have been putting together this team a lot sooner, and they could actually build up the proper team sort of thing. But, yeah, we've got what looks like a mismatched team, but it could have been a much better if it had been booked better earlier. Right, with that being said, the main event will most likely be Seth Rollins defending against Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship, and we will start the last match with Ryan. That sigh was very, very deep, Ryan. You've gone with Braun.
It's Braun, and the reason behind that is, I don't know if anyone else has drawn these parallels, but since Seth has been Universal Champion, they have booked his runs, like, over the past couple of years, the exact same way they booked Roman's runs over the last couple of years. It was Brock Lesnar and Rollins, Brock Lesnar and Rollins, Brock Lesnar and Rollins, over and over and over again. The reason that we were so frustrated with Brock and Roman was because it was the only thing that we were seeing. And then what do they do? They do the exact same thing with Rollins and Brock again. I am so happy that Braun Strowman is in this title match, because Braun Strowman, for what he is, which is a monster who runs over people like a freight train, is really good at running over people like a freight train. And I want Braun to have this belt on him. I wanted Braun to have this belt on him 2 years ago. And I think that it makes the most sense, since once again, we all know all roads lead to Roman. Roman's going to need someone to fight for the championship. Why not reignite that feud with Braun that they kind of just let fizzle away?
Okay, that's quite sound punditry actually from you, Ryan, which makes a change.
Yeah, I know.
And that's great, isn't it? JCB, weigh in of your opinion, sir.
I agree with Ryan, and that's our philosophies on our podcast at all, Worlds Do Lead to Roman. That said, I think we might make a detour with the Fiend coming up at Hell in a Cell. The interesting way to go about it would be to have Braun Strowman versus the Fiend, so you could have a inner Wyatt family conflict for the title. I just don't think it would be confident or, dare I say, ballsy enough to do that sort of thing. I think Seth versus Bray is the next step. So that said, I'm going to take Seth.
You're taking Seth Rollins to retain the championship. Okay. Conrad Newton, your last answer this week, sir. Go ahead.
I don't really see what matters, to be honest.
That's brutal, even from you.
So, you know, the Fiend winning at Hell in a Cell. Because it would be silly. Well, it's WWE we're talking about, so of course it's going to be silly booking if the Fiend loses. But the Fiend probably will lose because that's just stupid booking. But yeah, I'm 95% sure that the Fiend's going to win at Hell in a Cell. So and it looks like if they're going to do the traditional Survivor Series format, they're going to try and redo Randy versus Bray, the feud that they failed miserably at in 2017. I feel that Rollins is going to retain it, but just about. He's going to do what he did at SummerSlam. He's going to get thrown about for eternity. Strowman's going to absolutely slaughter him. He's going to do that really cool shoulder tackle thing on the outside. I can see him like just throwing Seth about because he can. And then Seth suddenly, as Ryan said, it's very similar to Roman. He gets beat up for ages and worked over for 90% of the match, and then whereas it's not Superman punch spear and then Roman wins, it's super kick to the leg, stomp, 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 Rollins wins. So I can see that being the case, and then we have the lights go out, and then the Fiend applies the mandible claw, and that is your very cool graphics to close the show. The Fiend holding the Universal title with Seth completely out of it and Strowman on the floor outside. Because then, at least then, if Bray wins the title, then you have the option of Strowman at the Rumble or Strowman at Mania to put him over strong as the guy who beat the Fiend for the Universal title. Strowman needs to be built up again, and I think that it's going to take so much. I reckon he's going to have one of those performances that gets him over again, even in defeat, because Rollins only just won it back, so it makes sense for Rollins to retain.
Okay. My answer is kind of convoluted because it's Seth Rollins retaining the championship, but I'm going to have it down as a no contest because I like the idea that Conrad had, but I'm thinking a step further and have the Fiend is going to interfere in the match and take them both out, and therefore no contest. And obviously, the Fiend gets his title match inside Hell in a Cell against Seth Rollins. And Braun will probably go on to feud with someone like, I don't know, R-Truth for the title, for all I know. So yeah, no contest is what I'm ruling, which is a really, really risky move for me because it is a specific one, whereas you guys were more vague. So yeah, that is 11 matches run down and a bit of extra knowledge thrown in for good measure. So, as we've been around for over an hour at this point, let me ask you guys to provide us with some information about where to find you all. Ryan, you go first, please. Where can people find you, talk to you, shout at you, complain about you?
So you can follow me on Twitter at The Blade Job Show, which is simultaneously the show's account and my personal account. And just because this is what I've been doing the entire show and Matt keeps yelling at me for it, you can also find me over at mixer.com/nicheguy, where I play all of my games to the loving masses. That's mixer.com/nishguy, nicheguy.
Absolutely. If someone has a gaming podcast, believe me when I say this guy knows what he's talking about. Right. Okay. JCB, new to the Vision Adventure Network, of course, but not new to podcasting. Where can people find you, sir?
Yeah, thank you. Stole my thunder right there. You can find us on the Visionary Wrestling Network. I'm on most major podcast platforms, and that from that point, just go to the space bar, type in Bam from Ringside, hit the quickly, hopefully you're good to go. Twitter-wise, you can find me on at BFRJCB.
Absolutely fantastic. Conrad, where can people find you, sir?
You can find me on the Tweety Book at El Compacto Newt. You can read my blog, because I am actually going to restart that now that my first few weeks of college are out of the way. That is thetapouttabloid.com. You can also find me as a member of Matt Attack Productions. Hello, Matt.
Hey.
I will be documenting my professional wrestling journey, which starts on the 31st of September. I'm going to get myself into like the best shape possible. I'm going running every single day. My legs are killing me at the minute. I can hardly walk. But yeah, I've been doing so much. I've read into the Young Lion, New Japan Young Lion system, and their sort of training. I've toned it down a little bit, but yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing my journey with all of you. And yeah, at El Compacto Newt on Twitter and Instagram. But Instagram's at El_Compacto_Newton.
It's great, Conrad. Just one little thing. The 31st of September?
Yes.
There's only 30 days in September, mate.
Oh, 30th of September, then
I'm such... For someone who is technically his boss, I'm an... Right, okay. And you can find me at Matt.UK and find all of the shows and all the Twitter handles through that. It's easy way to go. We've taken up way too much of your time. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Thank you to Ryan.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll probably invade your show again soon. JCB, thank you very much for gracing us your presence. See if you can take...
Thanks for having me, man.
No problem. I'll be back at some point, sure, as well. Thank you very much to Conrad.
Cheers, bud.
And I'm Matt Willis, and we are at it.
This is a Matt Attack production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.